It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Welcome to our show. Welcome to Studio 4 in downtown Washington, D.C. We have an in-studio guest today on the program. He's homegrown. His name is Odyssey. And we're going to be checking out his music this hour, so hang around for Odyssey. He joins us here on Border Crossings.
I remember when I discovered purpose. I was good at something finally worth it. Told my father that I'ma be an artist. Foreign parents don't understand we got newer options. They flee their countries, protect their families, pursuing progress. They thinking needs, we think of wants, the views of party. I wanna be like Dr. Dre, they want degrees from Harvard. An engineer that slide the fader, not designing rockets. I'm in the lab without a beaker, but the speaker's knocking. Making art in broken English, they mistake is nonsense. The only language understood is income. So I got good at business plans as well as making rhythms. I took this art so serious. It made any girl I dated so furious. It put tears in their eyes that wouldn't dry, so they turn into rain. So many lessons that I'm learning through pain. Rain days. When I was younger, I was all about the ladies. Quick to do them wrong, even quicker to call them crazy. Cause I ain't see the harm in leading on somebody's daughter who wanted my commitment, but instead they get a maybe. 4 or 5 are juggling them like I'm Bonham and Bailey. Until my arms are tired of hugging women and breaking. The less that I was working, the more that I was flirting. Can be somebody's half if you ain't a completed person. Started developing myself first. Ain't easy to take it for granted when it's self-worth. Kept promises, made money, stayed honest in a thick accent. My father said that I made progress. Became the man that I was meant to be. Right on time, met the woman that was meant for me. You know the feeling of keeping your phone face up. The interference, so nothing causing the breakup. Drama free.
Man, I'm gonna be real with you, man. You're gonna get a lot of people out here messed up thinking it's really cool to just leave their phone face up and they got a lot of open tabs. That wrong text message will come through one day and mess up everything you was trying to build. So that's just a warning, man. It ain't for everybody, yo, but good job working hard to get there, man, for real.
Nowadays, I'm just trying to get paid. Stay away from trouble and avoid the early grade. Read a little more, speak a little less. My competition listening, they quick to imitate. Invited to the studio by so-and-so. And everybody think that I'm the one that stole the flow. Well, here's a quotable. I ain't jealous or offended. I'm just glad to see reactions to a style that I invented. To me, being remembered means the time is finished. And I'd rather be the reminder with the minor presence. Not a quick rise in the long fall. For the long haul, I'm in it, so just sit tight. Things don't grow if the ground stays dry. I see the good things when the clouds blown by. So when the rain comes, I presume my stance. And if I move, it's to do my things. Bloom.
I've been making rain no matter what the time. But I do it less for some peace of mind. Reach out and you will understand. God put in his hand.
Border Crossings, we're listening to Rain Dance. The man who gave us that song and many other songs, Odyssey, is in the house. And you didn't have far to go. I guess you're from this neighborhood originally.
Not too far.
We're glad to have you here in our studios. That was, what is it, Sundance?
Rain Dance.
Rain Dance?
Well, absolutely.
We don't need any more rain.
Yeah, we got some light showers today.
We want Sundance. Give me a Sundance. Odyssey, nice to have you in D.C. Welcome back home.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And you are on your first headline tour right now.
No, I've been on several headlining tours. However, this is definitely my first time headlining the 9:30 Club this evening.
Mm.
It's always been an aspiration of mine to headline the most important venue in our hometown.
That's it.
And I'm very much looking forward to it.
That must feel great to come back home. And now, I mean, such a historic place, and you're the star at the 9:30 Club.
It's kind of surreal. You know, I grew up in the open mics in the area and the surrounding parts, and always watched the tour buses flow in of all the artists who were headlining the 9:30 Club. And I've done a couple of opening spots for it, smaller things. And I just said to myself, one day I'll headline the 9:30 Club.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, 4:20.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
On all the success. You've had quite a few albums out and mixtapes and
absolutely.
EPs. And so this one's called The Iceberg?
It is.
The Iceberg. Why did you call it The Iceberg?
Through my travels on tour, I've noticed one reoccurring thing throughout the world is it seems to be a lack of critical thinking these days. And I wanted to encourage people to dive beneath the surface of understanding why things are the way they are. As a result of my bi-ethnic heritage, of my father being from North Sudan and my mother being African-American from D.C., I've always had this perspective of seeing things on the inside out and the outside in, which has given me a level of sympathy and understanding that I want nothing more than for the rest of the world to be able to experience. I think that we had a lot more tolerance and compassion for one another if we gave each other time to dive into our stories.
Hmm. Have you ever been to South Sudan?
I've never been to South Sudan. Mm-hmm. I've been throughout the Horn of Africa, North Africa, and the Middle East, but I've never been to South Sudan.
Because we have a lot of listeners right now in South Sudan who listen to this show and write in all the time.
Absolutely,
so
absolutely.
Many people from Africa tuned in.
Definitely.
And around the world, you're reaching millions of people. And have you done much international touring? I know you performed at a lot of festivals around the world.
Sure.
Over the years.
Quite a few. Mm-hmm. Quite a few. I've been touring for quite some time. I've headlining gigs since the beginning till now, along with festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Played majority of Western countries, Europe, Asia. We've played and Oceania.
Mm-hmm.
This year and next year will be the first time we tour South America and Sub-Saharan Africa.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting stuff. And you performed at Glastonbury as well.
Yes, I have.
I mean, these are some those are huge stages.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been good. It's been able to see the fruits of your labor,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Now, your name is really Amir. So where did Odyssey come from?
Ah.
I'm sure this is a long story. But.
No, you know, it's a pretty simple one. Actually, it's a story of self-manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
So I read the Odyssey and the Iliad by Homer as a child. And I love the stories of Odysseus. And when I decided I wanted to be a lyricist and I gave myself a name, I chose Odyssey because I wanted my music to take people on journeys. And Odyssey is the Greek word for journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted my music to take people on journeys. And then fast forward, it's my music that's taken me on the largest journey around the world. So it's kind of a self-fulfilled name, you know?
And you've met so many people around the world.
So many.
And
so
what's
many.
It like performing on other stages outside of the U.S.? The audience is kind of similar, the same, very different. What have you noticed when you perform internationally?
There's so many similarities. In the beginning, you're all about noticing differences when you travel.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more you travel, differences start to diminish, and you start to see nothing but similarities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at that point in my touring career where I notice more of the similarities and different peoples than I do the differences.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely crowds that react more to lyrics. There are crowds that react more to music. There are crowds that are there for being there. There are crowds that are there specifically for you. And those are usually the variables, but it has nothing to do with culture or location.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to do with, I guess, reasons for coming to an event. They seem to be reoccurring.
Hmm. And one of the things that you said off air, which I find very interesting, the new album, The Iceberg, is only, I mean, you came out in February.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm so tired of this. and you know, I probably shouldn't say it.
You're throwing me under the bus.
Throw you under the bus. But no, I mean, I find that very interesting that, because you're a very creative guy. I can see that. I can see your brain is constantly working. And you don't seem like the kind of person who settles in any one place for any length of time.
No, you're always on the move. True nomad, like my descendants.
That's it. See? So I can sense that about you. So you probably have another two CDs already done, ready to go.
Oh, you know, I wish I did. I tell people I work smart. I don't work hard.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I work smart.
That's a T-shirt. I like that.
The blueprints for my albums take a lot longer than the creation of my records.
Mm-hmm.
I'll think of a subject matter and a title for the album well before I start actually producing the record.
Mm-hmm.
And once I have that title and I'll base the theme around the title and the subject matter of each song, then I'll start jotting down song ideas. And then I'll go into the studio for a month, 2 months. And I'll conceive the record.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do things in order. I make all of the music first after the theme. After I make all the music, I stop producing music and I write all the lyrics. After all the lyrics are written, I record. After all the recording's done, I mix.
Hmm.
And always within that order. I never go back and forth between different disciplines. And it allows me to work very, very efficiently and release a large amount of music and still control quality control as well. Mm-hmm. With this album, I started it on November 27th of 2016, and I turned it in on December 24th, Christmas Eve.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah, it was quick. Very, very intense.
Turn it around in a month. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. But again, the title of the album had been playing around in my head for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Subject matters for each song were playing around in my head for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Different melodies were saved in voice memos in my phone for quite some time. So once you have that blueprint, you're just kind of following an instruction manual
mm-hmm.
versus looking at the picture to assemble something. You've got the manual.
Mm-hmm.
Which one you think will be built better, you know?
And you also make albums of instrumental music, too.
Yes.
That don't have any lyrics or singers on them.
I do.
So you do everything.
Well, I think we're moving into an era now where instrumental music is definitely being appreciated again by urban markets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father's generation grew up listening to jazz instrumental records as well as vocal records,
mm-hmm.
but that somehow seemed to have died out in popular music. And especially within the genre of hip hop, you start to see more and more people interested in instrumental albums. I don't necessarily know if that's a result of people's not agreeing with the lyrical content of rap and just wanting the instrumentals, or if it's people genuinely appreciating the instrumentation as well as the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, there's a market for it. People are interested, and if it's within my means to do so, I feel obliged to.
Mm. And another thing that you mentioned off air that I have to commend you for, I have to, you know, really, as a parent of a couple of kids, you don't use profanity in your music.
I don't.
That's great. And I don't find that it's got a place, but it seems like every CD has a parental advisory
sure.
sticker on it, and there's so much, you know, cussing going on in a lot
sure.
of music that turns people off.
Sure.
I don't know that it adds anything. So it's great, you know, that you don't need to go there.
Well, it was a very conscious decision. I definitely used profanity in a lot of my earlier music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized my mother's generation and mine, we didn't listen to the same music growing up. There was this new genre of music called hip-hop. It was sweeping the country and the world, and it was very youth-focused. And the older generations didn't necessarily gravitate to it. So we started to have this distance in music between generations of my music and my parents. Whereas my mother and my grandmother, they would listen to similar music. It wasn't until recently that hip-hop is now over 30 years old that you're now starting to have parents who grew up listening to rap music, and now they also have children who listen to rap music. So that generational gap that rap created is starting to disappear. Well, that left a serious dilemma of parents wanting to listen to rap but also be responsible in the eyes of their children.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to realize that profanity was a setback to parents who grew up listening to rap who want to listen to it in front of their kids, first. Second, profanity allowed people to disregard rap as a product and not to be important. If you said, I love politics, people would listen to you. But if you said, I effing love politics, people would dismiss the exact same sentence because of their profanity.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to get frustrated with how easily dismissed rap was because of profanity, even though the message was still potent.
Mm-hmm.
So those two reasons combined, I said, all right, it's time to stop cussing.
Mm. I love that. I love that. That, you know, just hearing you say that, it makes sense. And you're going to have a little girl soon.
Yeah.
You got to set a good example. You're going to hide those early CDs until she's a little older.
Yeah, she'll find them on the internet. There's nothing I can do about it.
That's one of those things. All right, we're going to listen to another song from Odyssey. What are we going to play next?
Let's play a song called Want to Be.
Tell me about it.
Want to Be is an aspirational song about things that I want in life. The chorus is, I want to be happy. I want to be free. I want to be left alone. I want to be me. Free to choose my own things in life and go about my own pursuit of happiness without scrutiny. And it's kind of a bittersweet song where it understands the realities of the world, but that shouldn't deter you from being resilient.
All right, here's Odyssey on Border Crossings.
There's this feeling I've been chasing. I got leads on its location. It changes form every time I face it. Only appreciate it when it's gone. Take it for granted like it's etched in stone. But liberty ain't strong. Any wrong could break it. Placed in my arms, my controlling cages. Between a rock and hard place and they say move on. That's what I'm trying to do. A miracle to perform. But you can't make that without an eyebrow raising. People want your magic for their own ovation. When you're in full bloom is when the beehives swarm. And the time I waste to try and fit in norms. People like me more when I pretend I'm basic. But what do I want? I practice patience. And right then and there it dawns. I just wanna be happy. I just wanna be free.
on tour. Live in Brooklyn, buildings pre-war. With a name that don't make you think of C4. High ceiling apartments, no ceiling on my living. I ain't giving up options. Leveled out a limit is the mission accomplished. Don't expect to get it without wetting up armpits. Sweat these pools, it's America's game. Pick your side with the fence. Try to kick me out the country as a line of defense. See me, I'm from the country and I'm proud of my ends. And even though you try to shun me, you ain't shrouding the tent. I'm just a man with a vision in a tunnel with him. And trying to shoot the light bulb cause they thought I was twitching. Got a few ideas, wrote them down on the list. Let me say them now before I forget. I just wanna be happy. I just wanna be free. I just wanna be left alone. I just wanna be me. I don't believe in a promise, unless it's one I made myself. Cause there's no denying the fact that I'm the only accomplice and rarely ever courted for help. I ain't trying to be monstrous, I just want month's rent. A little something extra, I ain't hoarding the wealth. Cause 99% of us are trying to get success. The 99% of us was already dealt. No trophy on the mantle, but I got a mantle. Mama couldn't pay the power, I would grab the candles. I'm just thankful like a channel that the block is tangled. Stand straight and I don't hesitate to pocket angle. I'm just trying to turn a smirk to a smile, restricted to a laugh. All while keeping my distance from the crowd. And that may change, long the road I paid. But the day right here and now,
I just wanna be happy. I just wanna be free. I just wanna be left alone. I just wanna be me. I just wanna be happy. I just wanna be free. I just wanna be left alone.
Border Crossing's Odyssey is in our studios, and he's on tour, and the shows are selling out everywhere.
Yes.
That's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling.
To be appreciated and validated and loved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think my booking agent likes it, too.
And your wife probably likes it, too.
Oh, she does very much.
Good,
very much.
Good. More shopping. I'm going shopping. So you got a little baby girl on the way, which is your first child coming in the summer. That's going to change everything, don't you think? I mean,
absolutely.
Are you ready for this moment?
I really, really am. I really am. I've had this longing to be a parent for the past few years to, you know, give the knowledge that I've soaked up and absorbed from my parents and the world around me off to someone else. And I'm happy I get to do it, you know.
If she shows any inclination towards music, are you going to say yes? Or are you going to say, now knowing what you know, are you going
to
say no?
I'm really worried and I don't want her to pursue a career in music. It's funny how life works. My father plays the oud. It's a traditional wide belly instrument from the Middle East. My mother sings, and my father didn't want me to do music, and he was talented and didn't want me to, and yet I still did it. And he wanted for me to do it as a hobby and nothing more. And I think, fast forward, I'll probably encourage my daughter to pursue it as a hobby. If it finds itself transferring into a career, I'll be all for it, but I would want her to have a safety net, a backup plan. First, and I would encourage something to be primary first and to music to be secondary. And if it takes over, I'm all for it. But I wouldn't urge her to jump into a career in art in general.
My parents used to always tell me you can be anything you want to be after you're a doctor.
Exactly.
But I didn't listen. I'm not a doctor.
Neither did I.
Odyssey is our guest, and he grew up in Prince George's County, Maryland, which is just outside of where I am living these days. And you are now living in New York.
Yes.
Big change moving from the D.C., Maryland to New York City?
A bit. You know, my mother's side of the family is all from the inside Washington, D.C. My father we were raised in Prince George's County. After high school, I had moved to 6 and I, Northeast. Stayed there for quite some time, then Petworth. And then after that, I moved to New York. So I had a very, very good mix of urban and suburban my entire life, as well as Sudan. I spent my summers in Sudan. So my parents were divorced, and weekends were in Washington, D.C., in Tacoma Park. weekdays were in Prince George's County, and summers were in the Sudan.
And college was in Philadelphia.
I didn't actually go. I got accepted.
Oh, you got accepted, but you said
no. To Philadelphia Institution of Art, but then I discovered rap music in my last year of high school.
Oh.
And it took over, but I wanted to be a graphic design art illustrator.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I did most of my life.
Oh.
And then I found rap and production, and the feeling that I got when I finished a piece of music versus a piece of art, I couldn't compare it.
Mm-hmm.
Until this day. It's a feeling that I'm constantly getting. No matter how much music I've released, every time I sit at home at my desk to create music, when I finish, the feeling never gets old. And that's how I knew that this is what I was meant to do.
Mm. And it's interesting that musicians, when they talk about other careers or their original goals or thoughts, it's always something creative. You want graphic arts for you.
Sure.
Talk to someone who want to be a hairstylist, yeah, or clothing designer or something. You never find an accountant who wants to become a rap star. But I guess it happens somewhere.
Yeah, there were a few.
It must be somewhere.
There were a few out
somewhere.
There.
Now, yeah, you shared a stage with Kendrick Lamar, who's one of the hottest guys right now
on
the scene.
I have. Two stages, I believe. We did Summit at Sea this past November.
Mm-hmm.
It was an industry cruise through the Virgin Islands. And we also did Hip Hop Camp in the Czech Republic.
Did you guys hang out together?
No.
Exchange notes?
Festivals are crazy. They're hectic. You barely see yourself in a festival.
Right.
You know, you're constantly just being moved around. But I've shared stages with quite a few people.
And DJ Jazzy Jeff, I guess?
I got my start with Jazzy Jeff.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the founder of A Touch of Jazz Studios in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Pretty much one of the forefathers of Neo Soul. It was a movement of music that was around in the early 2000s that gave people things like Jill Scott, Music Soul Child, Glenn Lewis, to name a few, Floetry. It was through him that my first song that I was ever paid for was released. And that was the first song that my father gave me permission to pursue music when he saw that I could actually get paid from it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
What a great life. You're having fun. You're great at what you do.
I'm doing my best. I'm doing all right to be happy with what I have. That's one of the lessons that I'm trying to drive into people, that there are careers within music without necessarily being superstars,
mm-hmm,
sustainable ones, where you are happy, satisfied, you can make a living, and it's not necessarily about having a top 100 record,
mm-hmm,
or top 40.
Mm. So who are you listening to?
Oh, all kinds of people. Who do I have in my phone right now? I downloaded recently Dirty Projectors. Who else? Two Door Cinema Club. The new Kendrick Lamar. Who else is in my phone right now? What's his name? I can't remember. The new Drake as well.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place when it comes to music. Got some West. I've been on a Wes Montgomery kick recently.
Mm-hmm.
Went on iTunes and downloaded a ton of Wes Montgomery. Yeah.
And you performed, I guess, in Dubai for, you know.
I have.
What was that like?
A few times. Very, very surreal for me. The first time I went to Dubai, it was actually for BMW. I think BMW is the one who owns Mini Cooper, and they brought me there as a campaign. They were doing this car promotion,
mm-hmm,
and it was called Mini Goes Urban.
And you can fit in a Mini Cooper? You're a tall guy. It's a tall glass of water, as they say.
That's the first time I went. It was to promote a car, and a theme of it was called Mini Goes Urban. So they had this car promoted to all of these super, super rich Khaliji people,
mm-hmm,
and they wanted to show them the elements of urban culture around the car. And they had me rap before they premiered this car. That was the first time I went as a performer. Since, I've gone back as a headliner for my own music,
mm-hmm,
and it's been interesting to perform for expats from the States and from England, where I have large fan bases, but I'd say 80% of the crowd was Sudanese. Most people don't know there's a large population of Sudanese people in the UAE and in the Gulf. Sudanese people started going there as early as the 60s, speaking Arabic and English and having educations on British standards. We helped facilitate the Gulf's transition into the West once, mm-hmm, oil was found. So I actually ended up doing a lot of my shows for Sudanese people living in the Gulf. And it was really, really great to see that level of pride and interest in my music from my father's people. It was a blessing.
Mm. Can you speak Arabic?
I can. Sudanese Arabic. Yeah.
Go ahead. Since we're on in Sudan.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, assalamu alaikum. Kefak. أنا اسمه أمير أبوي من السودان عبد الرحمن بانت أمي أمريكية من واشنطن دي سي أنا ساكن حسا في نيويورك في البروكلين.
شكراً.
عفواً.
شكراً. Wow, that's great. I mean, I'm sure everybody in Sudan who's listening to us right now is
awesome.
Is so very excited.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
We're excited to have you here. And we're gonna play another song from your album.
Yeah, sure. Let's play a song called "You Grew Up."
You Grew Up. All right. Here's You Grew Up. Odyssey, who's in our studios. You've got Border Crossings.
Take it back to my childhood. Six Flags still called Wildwood, where I heard every race is a neighbor and we was working class trying to make it out of our hood. My best friend back then was a white kid. We was tight, he liked the same things I did. Despite us being different colors, man, we was tight as embers and we called each other brothers while I was trying to keep my nights clean. He was trying to scuff his chucks up. He was grunge, I was fresh, we were young, and we cussed on the rap, trying to stick up in the punk clubs. But things changed when his pops got laid off. He blamed my father for the loss of his job. He said immigrants rob citizens of job, and I better never set foot again in this yard. As we became adults in a cult called America, he got himself a job as the officer of law. My thoughts got blacker and his views got cracker. There was no way back to the roots at heart. Many years apart, I recognize him in the news. He shot a black man that was sitting in his car. Made the same part where we used to shoot hoops, and all I could blame is the cause.
You grew up, now you didn't change. You were made the same, so before you came. You grew up, all our growing pains. We're giving like our name, like our name. Just bought the flame. You grew up, now you didn't change. You were made the same.
Friend that became a fanatic, most of y'all have it, but if you ever did, you understand the one thing that y'all have become, and if somebody took advantage of the damage as a kid. I knew a guy whose folks were professors, proof in the flesh that the law was a blesser. Grew up in a Midwestern town where there weren't many brown people he could see reflection. Got picked on in school during lectures, graduated hating everybody in his class. Picked on cause he prayed bye to the east and he didn't eat the meat that the law said was bad. One day your man approached him in a mosque, changed his life when he asked him a question. Do you ever feel your life was a loss? And what if I could teach you that life was a weapon? Attracted strong to the feeling of acceptance, he was soon gone with delusions of a cause. People of the present had faces of the past, make it easier to bless him if you feel they did it wrong. You can raise a child in a house full of love, can't keep him safe in a world full of hate. So he blew up, only mistake that could hold all the blame.
You grew up, now you didn't change. You were made the same. So before you came, you grew up. All our growing pains, we're giving like our name. Like our name. Just bought the plane. You grew up. No, you didn't change. You were made the same. So before you came, you grew up. All our growing pains, we're giving like our name. Like our name. Just bought the plane. You grew up.
Must jug, and when I was born, it was filled with love. It ran it over, life ran me over, I spilled the blood. I poured the cups and I left it up to you to say enough. Never ended, never quenching, I sealed it up. Tried to change my reality, but settled for real enough. Life was better when you're thinking less ago, give it up. When I was younger, I was so determined, I would change it all. Couldn't fly, but wasn't chained to fall. Where is it? I put the blame in cold. Well, I grew up.
Border Crossings, and it's Odyssey from his new CD, The Iceberg, and that's You Grew Up?
Yes.
And the song is about what?
In short, the indoctrination into what we believe. As we all start off as children, and we're far more innocent and more so or less equal, and it is life and what life throws at us that kind of steers us into what we believe. And many of the times it's passed down belief. That we would have, may have never believed necessarily ourselves if it wasn't shoved down our throats, so to speak. So this is a song fictional song about how two kids start off and how they end up as adults.
So your music all has profound meaning, and it's very cerebral. I mean, you do a lot of thinking when you put it. It's not as simple as you're standing in an airport and somebody walks by. I got a song.
I actually sit
and think about all your music very carefully, obviously.
Sure. It just comes from traveling. This song really came about due to the relationship between police and the African-American community and through Islamophobia and my travels through Europe and seeing the migration crisis from the Middle East into Europe. I was witnessing all of this from the sides of the road in Calais and at the port cities in Bavaria in Germany at the train stations, and it had a profound impact on me, and it made me wonder about my own family. My mother's side being African-American and from Washington, D.C., my father's side being from Sudan, and my father coming to America for a better life. So these things have had a profound impact on me and have affected what I write about.
Hmm. Have you been affected in this travel world that we're facing now? And you pull out a passport and it says Amir on it. And a bit. You go that line and they go
absolutely.
That line.
Absolutely. The rest of my band knows not to stand behind me in customs if they want to get to the carousel first.
It's sad. That's just a sad, honestly.
It's the truth.
It's a sad state of affairs right now.
It's the truth, you know.
Our world is in desperate need of some guidance.
Absolutely. And critical thinking.
Yes.
Not to judge things at face value in what we see, and to really dive beneath the surface to understand why things are the way they are.
Mm. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise. It's been a pleasure.
Really, to have you here. And, you know, you've done so many things. You've worked with so many different artists, creative people. You know, going back, Herbie Hancock, I guess a lot of times your music, some people call it jazz.
Sure.
And I've heard it called go-go.
Yeah.
And you've got quite a few different descriptions for what you do. How would you describe your music?
An amalgamation of black music and culture. My mother's African-American, my dad's Sudanese. My grandmother and my mother's side only plays church music, nothing secular. Her brother grew up in bluegrass and country music. I grew up in D.C., home of go-go. A lot of jazz greats coming in and out. My mother worked at Industrial Bank for 15 years, right across the street from Bohemian Caverns. I am the sum of my surroundings and circumstances. That's my next-door neighbor was Gary Scheider of Parliament and Funkadelic. I got my start in his studio. So I was raised around funk, jazz, soul, R&B, blues, go-go, East African music, Middle Eastern music, everything. Mm-hmm. So I think the best way to sum it up is an amalgamation of black music.
That's great. We had Calvin from Parliament in last week.
Oh, awesome.
He was here. Now, you have won many awards. You got the iTunes Music Award for Best Hip-Hop Album.
Did.
So, yeah. There's, you know, I mean, yeah, what happened. A great career. And you're a young guy.
Thank you, man.
You're just kind of, I mean, you're so young, but yet you've done so much.
Well, it's my job. I don't think anyone else gets rewarded as much for going to work every day as artists do. You know, everyone goes to work every day from 9 to 5 and puts in 40 hours a week. But we get really rewarded for the amount of, if I was to go to work at 9 hours every day, 40 hours a week, you know, I make about 3 tracks a day, roughly. You know, that's that's 6 days a week. It's a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
A good amount of it will make the cut, and I apparently get rewarded for that work more so than the average person, which is a very strange thing for me. Mm. I'm just going to work, you know?
How much say or control do you have on what happens in your music? You own your own label? Or
I don't own my own label, but I am very involved in the label that I do release through. Mm-hmm. It's owned by a gentleman named Mike Toll from Tucson, Arizona. The label's called Mellow Music, and bless Mike, he pretty much gives me full control creatively over my work. And even to a large extent, how money is spent on my projects.
Great.
We have a great relationship.
Yeah, because when you sign with the majors, you lose a lot of
You lose input. A lot of that.
You lose a lot of control.
You get the fame, but you lose a lot else.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you got the fame going on. I mean, thank you, Odyssey, for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, people want to reach out to you, check your website, get your albums. Where do they go?
Absolutely. It is ODDISEE on all things social media, Odyssey. And you can check out odyssey.co for my website.
Yeah, I saw 2 different websites.
Did you?
Yes, there were 2. One had, it looked like Arabic writing.
Yeah.
And the other one has a bunch of different still photos of you. 2 different websites.
Oh, interesting.
One obviously not legal.
One not legal. Yeah, that was a funny story. A guy bought that domain name when it expired and called me up and told me he was a big fan and was interested in either selling it to me or trading it to me for production.
Whoa.
So I gave it to him and I got a new website.
Well, there you go. Everybody ended up happy in the end.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Odyssey, for coming on. It's The Iceberg. That's the name of the new CD. And if you want to reach out to him on Facebook, where are you?
Absolutely. It is Odyssey on Facebook as well.
And Twitter?
Odyssey. Instagram, Odyssey.
You're not going to forget that name. Odyssey. And have a great show tonight. Sold out show at 9:30 Club. That's exciting. And congratulations again on the new addition to the family.
Much appreciated. Thank you for having me.
This is Border Crossings. I'm Larry London.
Hey, Mr. DJ, put a record on. I want to dance with my baby.
Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
Hey, I was doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart. Moved to the city in a broke down car. And 4 years, no calls. Now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar. And I can't stop. No, I can't stop. So, baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your.
your shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older.
The day I met you, I forget just why I left you. I was insane. Stay and play that Blink-182 song that we beat to death in Tucson. Okay,
I know it breaks your heart.
Shoulder, pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older.
Crossings, Alex Paul and Andrew Taggart, they are the Chainsmokers, and that is a song that was number one for 12 weeks, and it's called Closer from the Chainsmokers, requested by Stephanie Anaanetti, and she's listening in Ghana to 98.1 FM. So the Chainsmokers, the new album Memories Do Not Open is number one. It debuted at number one when it came out last week, so congratulations to the Chainsmokers on their very fast success. I'm Larry London. We also heard from Madonna and a request from Bhutan, and a listener named Himalayan King. Oh, I'm sorry, the listener's not. They're in the Himalayan Kingdom. The name is, let me see if I can, oh, Gembo Tenzin. Here is the name, Gembo Tenzin from Bhutan. And thank you very much for listening to Border Crossings and for requesting Madonna. And apparently Gembo said, please play the Madonna song for my friends who are also in Switzerland. So I hope you had a chance to tune it in. It's called Music from Madonna on Border Crossings. I would like to say hello to Winti Tsege, who just checked in, Ambuki Mokua from Nairobi, who said, I've been listening to you, Larry, for 10 years on Border Crossings. So thank you, Ambuki, for being such a loyal supporter of this program and what we've been doing here. Kwesi Araguar is listening in Ghana. Ibrahim Bukhar is tuned in. Joseph Gabetti from Nigeria said hi. Andre in Romania is listening to Border Crossings. Also heard from Wendy Waldalasi, Nahom Araya. Arnod is with us. Wayne Victor and the birthday boy. I heard from Shimo Berry. So I say hello to Cherno Berry, who is from Sierra Leone, and writing in that today is my birthday. So happy birthday to you today. And I hope you're listening right now in Sierra Leone and celebrating your birthday, your very special day. So thanks for tuning in to Border Crossings. My name's Larry London, and we just have about 10 more minutes left in today's show. Again, thanks to Odyssey for coming on. If you would like to join us with a request, call Nick at 202-619-2077. While we're here for the last 10 minutes of the show, he's in to answer calls, 202-619-2077. This is from Amy Winehouse, and A.B. Burhanu wants me to play this song from her collection, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, originally from the 60s by the Shirelles. Amy Winehouse.
Tonight you're mine completely. You give your love so sweetly. Tonight the light
Border Crossings on VOA 1.
Carry me under, make me a better.
Border Crossings, whether you call it alternative rock, grunge rock, metal, it doesn't matter. It's rock and roll. Still rock and roll, and I like it. As the Rolling Stones once said, they are Breaking Benjamin from Pennsylvania. And they were put together in 1999 by their lead singer, guitarist, Benjamin Burnley. They are still together. The last album they put out was 2 years ago, an album called Dark by Dawn. So they are due for a new CD. They tour a lot and keep busy. Amontana Clem Parker Jr. requested that song, and he thought he wasn't going to hear it. Aha, proved you wrong. There it is. Thank you, Amontana, for listening to Border Crossings. We would never forget you. The song is called Never Again, by the way. And I want to say hi to Cletus Clarks, too, who tuned us in. And before I go, a big thank you again to Odyssey, who is performing tonight here in D.C. Show's just about sold out. He is on tour for his latest album, The Iceberg. And you can check him out on his web pages. But thanks for coming in and being on the show, Odyssey. Nice to hear from you, meet you, talk about your music. I want to thank Wagner, our director, engineer, Vince, our production director. And we heard from Nick, who's been answering phones, and he's now good friends with Odyssey. He's a big fan. Nick is our producer intern, who's been answering calls and taking requests. Thank you so much for listening to Border Crossings. I'll see you again tomorrow at 1500 Universal, right here on this very stage, on this very radio show called Border Crossings on the VOA1 Music Network.